From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of a message called The Activities of Faith, the first in a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, a passage often known as Faith's Hall of Fame. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, God Repays. The text is Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. We are to give to the poor out of pity, not to be seen and applauded, much less to get influence over them, but out of pure sympathy and compassion we must give them help. We must not expect to get anything back from the poor, not even gratitude. But we should regard what we have done as a loan to the Lord. He undertakes the obligation, and if we look to him in the matter, we must not look to the second party. What an honor the Lord bestows upon us when he condescends to borrow of us! That merchant is greatly favored who has the Lord on his books. It would seem a pity to have such a name down for a paltry pittance. Let us make it a heavy amount. The next needy man that comes this way, let us help him. As for repayment, we can hardly think of it. And yet, here is the Lord's note of hand. Blessed be his name. His promise to pay is better than gold and silver. Are we running a little short through the depression of the times? We may venture humbly to present this bill at the Bank of Faith. Has any one of our listeners been a bit of a screw to the poor? Poor soul. May the Lord forgive him.
Thank you.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many voices are looking to the government or to social action for the solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with John Edwards. These were times of genuine spiritual revivals. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There's also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns as he brings the concluding portion of a message entitled The Activities of Faith, part of this new series in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Before moving on to the examples of faith set forth in chapter 11, Dr. Cairns is explaining what the Bible means by faith. He has shown that to qualify as biblical faith, one's belief must be in the God of the Bible and in Christ as the Son of God. Then, faith is called substance, that is, it conveys the idea of reality, of foundation. A third aspect of faith is its evidence, which in this context means a demonstration of the reality of something the eye cannot see. Moving on to the teaching of the text, Dr. Cairns will set forth five great truths about faith. First of all, faith sees, that is, it deals with spiritual sight. Then faith possesses a number of things, including the truth of God, Christ himself, and the promises of the Scriptures. This leads to assurance of all that God has covenanted to give his people. Finally, faith anticipates with the spirit of hope the fulfillment of God's purposes, and it empowers the believer to go through with God.
God, when he gives us faith, gives us the proof that he'll give everything that faith encompasses. And whatever faith lays hold of, we're sure to get it. When God says we'll get it, as God says we'll get it, we're sure to get it. Why? Because faith is the proof, the title deed, and the demonstration. Faith gives assurance. That's why when it comes to even the assurance of salvation, he talks about the full assurance of faith. It is the assurance produced fully by faith in Jesus Christ. Then the fourth thing it does is it anticipates. Faith will never settle for the present. That's unbelief that will do that. It is unbelief that wants to take the philosophy of this hour, this day and age in which we live, and say, this is the moment that I've got to live. And I want to live in this moment and only for this moment. Strange thing is, a Christian, if he's going to live in this moment, really live, can never live for it. He lives in the light of the past, the finished work of Christ as applied to a soul. He lives in the light of the future, and it's only as his heart encompasses the past and the future that he can really live the present as it ought to be lived. People who are living for the present are not living at all. They're still dead. Faith keeps its eye on the final goal. When you're struggling, and Christians do struggle, we read here of great victories, but they were not victories without struggles. You do struggle. You do have enemies within and without. The worst are the ones within your own breast. You do have battles that are long and tedious. And there are times when the old devil would come and want you to throw up your hands and say, I can't go on. Have you ever been there? I can't go on. Many a time we're brought to the place of crying on the Lord and saying, Lord, I can't take any more. Seeming to forget the promise that he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear, but with every temptation will make a way of escape. We seem to forget that. Unbelief would say, however, Lord, I want to give up. Faith comes along with its eye upon God, his Christ, and his promise. It says, Lord, I'm weak. I'm weary. I'm feeble. My efforts are futile. But thou hast given the promise, and thou hast set the goal before me. Christ is that goal and all that is in him. Therefore, laying aside the things that are behind me, and reaching out to all that God has before me, and with my eye fixed on Christ, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Faith is always anticipating. That means faith is always hopeful. You look at your life today, and I'm sure there are people here who are in despair. Will it ever be any better than this? Am I ever going to get out of these doldrums? Listen, faith fills you with hope. Hope in your God. Hope in your Savior. Hope in the promises. In the sure knowledge that he who has saved you will never fail you. And whatever the devil thinks, says, or does, he's going to bring you home to glory. A mighty conqueror. Faith anticipates. Of course, it not only anticipates heaven. There are certain things that God in his grace promises to us here on earth. And we're anticipating that. I believe that we can come to this book and lay hold of the promises, and as the Spirit of God seals them to our hearts, for instance, the promise of blessing, the promise of spiritual fullness, the promise of spiritual fruitfulness, this promise of spiritual revival. We can lay hold of God, and however dark the day, faith will look to the fulfillment of the promise. That's why I believe that we can have revival today. The old notion we can't have revival has come in a generation when men no longer take the promises of God for revival and labor through in prayer over those promises. But once they do, thank God they'll have the assurance, the anticipation will come upon them. God is going to fulfill his word. And then the final thing faith does, it empowers, it energizes. That's what Hebrews 11 says. Is all about. Faith actually works. I said at the beginning that there are some people who draw a contrast between faith and works that is altogether unscriptural. There is a scriptural contrast between faith and works. You're saved not by the works that you can do to merit the grace of God in Christ, but you're saved by faith, simple faith, entire faith, faith with no admixture of anything else. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how his grace is conveyed to you. That's the proper contrast between faith and works. What is the improper contrast is the idea that faith doesn't work. That faith is somehow a mere resting, a mere sitting down. Faith is the soul at rest in God that enables that soul to be working for God. Faith is the release from all the turmoil of doubt that is engendered by self, that enables the soul with confidence to go to work for God. And faith will work at holiness. Faith will work to separate from sin. Faith will labor to be conformed to Jesus Christ. Faith will fight the powers of hell. Faith will stand in a day of apostasy. Faith will empower you to do what you ought to do for God. You can't do anything in the arm of flesh. Can you conquer your sin by saying, I'm going to do it? That advice has been given. Just make up your mind and go and do it. Make up your mind. Man, you can sit there all day making up your mind. And the devil will be laughing at you the whole way, because as often as you make it, you'll unmake it. Faith is that which works. And when the eyes of the soul are trained on God and in God's Christ and His finished work, when the eyes of the soul are fixed upon the promise, then that soul will be able to work. It will work by love. Love for God and a God-like love for man. A love for holiness. A love to be like Christ. Faith will actually work. You can be an Abel, an Enoch, a Noah, an Abraham, a Jacob. You can be a Moses. I'll not say you will do all that they did in the circumstances in which they were placed, for your circumstances will be highly different. But you, the point is, you can be God's man, God's woman, where He has placed you, energized and filled with His Spirit, enabled by His grace, used and made fruitful, until you're brought home to glory in the very same victory as the mighty men and women of whom we read in Hebrews chapter 11. You can. Not just because they did, therefore you can. No, no. But because faith, God's gift to them, is God's gift to you. And that faith will be the same to you in all its activity as it was to them. May God teach us, therefore, what it is to live and to walk, to war, and to win by faith in God and His Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. We confess to Thee that we can't work up faith, that Thou must send it down. We confess, Lord, that the best we can do is make believe. Oh God, we want the Holy Spirit today to take the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we want the Holy Spirit to take the word of God, apply it to our hearts, and produce faith in every heart, saving faith in those who know not Christ, faith that will sustain and sanctify, faith that will energize for service, faith that will assure and bless those who know Christ as their Savior. Lord, grant us Thy light and this sight, to see the light and walk therein. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.